Chavav and Medbeis, 14 lines from the top, and the English is 26b1, closer to the end of the page. The Gemara is discussing the laws of tearing clothing for relatives. And we're learning before in the Gemara that sometimes you tear, and then you add, and then you fix it, you don't fix, you know, whatever. And then we learned also about a buyer and a seller, you know, telling if he has to tell the guy that it's torn, if you can fix it or not. And then the Gemara said, what happens if you... Okay, that was the last. Okay, anyway. Now the Gemara says like this. What happens if somebody told somebody, God forbid, his father passed away? The and he tore his garment. And then, after the mourning period passed, we'll see in the Gemara if it's Shiva Shleishim. There's two opinions. Meis b'nei, and then he heard that his son died. In other words, Reuven hears that Yaakov dies, his father. He tears his garment. And then a month later, he hears his son dies. So he has to tear more, right? But the din is, we learned before, that for a parent, you cannot mend the garment perfectly, but for other relatives, you could. So now the question is like this. He tore for the father, and then he added for the son. So the din is, tachtein misacha. The bottom one that he tore for his son, the extension, that you could fix. Elyon, the top one that he tore for the father, ain't a misacha. Then he can't fix it. Why? Because what you tear for the father, you cannot fix. What you tear for the son, you're allowed to fix. But then the Gemara says the opposite way. What happened, mes b'nei v'kara. What happens if somebody's son died, and he tore the garment? Then, meis aviv. Then the father died. V'haisiv, and you added more to the tear. So, and now, you want to fix it. So, the top one you tore for your son, so elyein, that you can misacha, that you could fix. Tachten, the bottom one that you tore for your father, ain't a misacha. Okay, so this is, so far, it sounds very simple. And it is simple. What you tore for your father, you cannot fix. What you tore for your son, you could fix. So it doesn't matter, top, bottom, whichever one it is. Then the Gemara says, what happens? Mace, the Braisa says, Mace Aviv, Mace Ime, Mace Achiv, Mace Achaser. And one time he heard his father, mother, brother, and sister died. I mean, God forbid, it could be a crash, a plane crash, a car crash. I mean,
there's no
God,
plans or cars in those days.
I understand. So if there would be a horse and buggy. Horse and buggy.
Tumbled off a cliff.
In the wars? Yeah, it could be anything. Listen, excuse me, in the Holocaust this happened plenty.
I know
that. Okay. Like this book. So then the din is, you tear one tear for them all. In other words, since the news came at the same time, you don't need to tear four different tears. One tear is enough for them all. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira argues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira says, "Al kulon kra echad," for the other relatives, meaning the brother and the sister, you can tear one tear. But al aviv al ime kera echad, for the father and mother, you have to tear separately. But the Mefarshim explain it doesn't mean two for the father and mother; it means one for the father and mother. But you can't use the same tearing that you tore for a brother and a sister for a parent. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, he says why? Because you don't extend a tear that you did for the parents for other relatives. Meaning, and the Gemara is going to explain, it's not respectful to tear for the parents together with a brother and a sister. Parents, you know, it's different. You need to tear separately for the parents. In fact, the Gemara says, my time. What's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira says for the parents you need to tear separately? Or, as the Gemara is asking really also, the Mefarshim explain, why does he say you need to tear a separate tear for the parents? Why can't you just tear for the brother and sister and then add for the parents? Why does it have to be a separate tear for the parents? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, lefi she'einam b'teisus. If parents are not subject, meaning it's not respectful for a parent just to tear a little bit more. For a parent, you need a separate tear. So therefore, if you tear for the brother and sister, you still need to tear separately for the parent. It's disrespectful to tear for the parent and the brothers in the same tear. Now, the Gemara says, by the way, there's an interesting machlekes the Mefarshim bring down over here. According to certain opinions, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda is also arguing on the first part of the Mishnah, of the Braisa. The Braisa said, if your father dies, then the son dies. So this you could fix and that you could fix. You know, the various, who died first. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda, some of the Shainim learn that Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda is arguing on the whole Mishnah. He says, if the son died first, you just can't add. What does the first opinion say? If the son died first, you tear. Then when the father dies, you add. And the father's tear, you can't mend. But the son's tear, you could fix. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda says, if you tear for a son, you can't just add for the father. You need to tear a separate tear for the father. Now, he says parents demand not to add to the tearing, but it's to be a separate kriya, separate tearing completely. Amish Shmuel. So Shmuel comes along and says, Halacha k'reb Yehuda ben Pseda. The halacha is a k'reb Yehuda ben Pseda that you need to tear another tear for the parents. Right?
Different area.
Different area. In fact, the Gemara is going to explain. You have to move three fingers away. If a guy is a bunch of tearing his garment for different people, yeah? You have to move three fingers away because that's the size, minimal size of a garment. It's three fingers. So if you tear, they have to move three fingers away of the garment and then tear again. But the Gemara asks, "Well, me, I'm a Shmuel Hachi. How could you say Shmuel says that Loch is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda? Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda is stricter. The first opinion says you don't need to make a special tear; just add. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda is stricter, and he says you need to tear another tear. But Shmuel himself says Halacha k'divrei Ameikel ba'avol. Shmuel holds in the laws of Avelis. Halacha is like the more lenient opinion." Right? That's Shmuel's general rule. Now here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda is stricter, because he says you need a separate tear. How could Shmuel say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseda if he's stricter?
This is just a bride.
Good. But even then, it says in the Mishnah, he meant not only Mishnah, means Tanoim Era. Tanoim Era. So the Gemara answers, Avelus Luchud, Kriya Luchud. He says two different categories. There's Avelus, and then you have tearing. It's two different dinim. Okay, it's two different dinim. There's a din in tearing, and then Shmuel says the halach is not like always the lenient opinion. In the laws of mourning, avelus, then the halach is like the lenient opinion. But in the laws of tearing, it's not.
That's not part of avelus?
No.
Where did it come, dinim from tearing? Where did it come from?
We learned all the psukim before. Remember the Gemara brought down a whole bunch of psukim. We learned that from different opinions.
Where did I don't want to digress. Why did Yehoshua and Caleb tear their garment?
Bad news. Remember we heard Shmuel's Royce for bad news? So then you have to tear. That's why they tore their garments.
My question would be, just because you said now it's two different halachas, because the tearing and the avelus. So where it came from the
No, you tear at the time of avelus, but it's two different concepts. Sometimes you could tear without avelus. Or something, you know.
But only if you hear it in the first day. So it
can. Yeah, but the Gemara says it's a different concept. Tearing is tearing, has nothing to do with Avelus.
But now we don't tear for bad
news. No. But we're going to see. The Gemara discusses here how much do you tear. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Now the Gemara says, at Heichen Kodeya. Now, okay, we learned all the laws of tearing and fixing and all that, but now the Gemara says, like, how much do you tear? So it says, Ati Buri, until his navel, meaning in simple English, until the belly button. V'yashemrim, and some people say, no, Ad Libe, until the heart. And the Gemara says, Afal Pishin Raya L'davar, even though there's no proof from a Pasik, but there's a Zecher, there's like an allusion to it. The Pasik says, Kiru levavchem ve'al begdechem. Tear your hearts and not your garments. Okay? Meaning, the Pasuk, as Rashi explains, the Pasuk is in Yoel. Yoel is saying to the Jews, the prophet Yoel, the Navi, is saying to the Jews, you know what? Don't tear your garments, tear your hearts instead. Meaning, do tshuva inside, just don't rip your garment and keep sinning. Mm-hmm. But you see that the concept of tearing is to the heart. because he says tear your heart. So it's not a proof, but it's what's called a zeichel adavar. Now, so therefore, some opinions say until the heart, some opinions say until the navel, which is mamish much more. Now, the Gemara says igil tiburei. Obviously, this is going to the first opinion. What happens if you came to, you tore already to the navel, and then you find out another relative died, and you have to tear again? So this is the thing we just said. Marchik shalosh etzbois, you move off the distance, three fingers, from the first tear, and then you tear it again. Okay?
In the same line, from above, below?
No, you have to, no, the Gemara is going to say from the top. It says, you have to fill tear it from the top. Because we learned, we're going to soon see in the Gemara even close. If you tear from the bottom, you're not yoitza. Right, right, it's coming up.
One time you said you had four tears.
Well, no, one second. Now, in this Mala Melefonov, what happened if your whole garment and the front got full of tears?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
so then is, Machziru Lachurov, you turn it around, you make the front into the back, and now you have
The shirt,
yeah, whatever it is. They didn't have necessarily shirts in those days. They had the robes, you know. Mm-hmm. So you turn it around, and then now, what happens, Miss Malamayla? What happens if the whole top, front and back, got full of tears? Then is you turn the bottom to the top, and as you turn the garment upside down, and then. And you keep going that way, okay? So the bottom becomes the top. Why can't you just tear from the bottom? That's what it's saying now. Hakareya milmato, whoever tears a garment from the bottom, or minatzdadim from the sides, the yotze did not fulfill their obligation. So therefore you can't just rip the bottom, you have to make the bottom into the top, and then you can tear the garment properly.
It has to be on top.
Except the only exception to this, the Gemara explains, and he says, "A kohen gadol peyda milmat." Except a kohen gadol, the pasuk says like this: a kohen gadol is not supposed to display any signs of mourning. A kohen gadol doesn't even become tamei for his father and mother. Right? He doesn't even go for his father and mother. So therefore, a kohen gadol, he's the only one that could tear at the bottom. He's not allowed to tear at top because he's not allowed to show it. But he does it, he can only do...
Everybody, like in his entire family, will tear from the bottom?
Only the parents. Mother and father.
So he doesn't tear for nobody else?
Right.
He becomes tummy only for a reason too.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara says, we learned before in the Braise that if you were tearing and then you heard somebody else died, you know, about moving or tearing again. So the Gemara says, "Pliga but Avmaster Mar Ukva." There's an argument between Avmaster and Mar Ukva if a second relative dies when. So it says like this: Tavayu, and both of them are arguing Mishmei Da'avua de Shmuel VeLevi, and they state their opinions in the name of Shmuel's father and Levi. They're arguing what they said. Chadam, one of them said like this: Kol Shiva. If the second relative died during Shiva, he has to tear the garment new. La'achas Shiva, after the 7 days, Mesif, he can only add. He only has to add. That means, if somebody tore Kriya, in the middle of Shiva, they heard another relative died, then they have to tear a new Kriya. But if it's after Shiva, they just add to the first Kriya. They just make it a little bit longer. The Chad Omer, and the other opinion says, Kol Shleishim, or not Shiva, all 30 days, Kerei have to tear a new tear. La'ach Shleishim, after 30 days, Mesif, then you add. Okay, and this, remember, we learned before in the Gemara, remember we learned there's what's called Shmur Kareva and Shmur Rechaika. Shmur Kareva, if you hear about somebody's death within 30 days, and Shmur Rechaika is if you hear it after 30 days. So we find over there in the Gemara, there's also a difference. For instance, for all other relatives, let's say, God forbid, somebody loses a brother. and nobody tells him about it for 30 days, the din is he doesn't have to tear kriya. But if it's apparent and you find out after 30 days, then you need to tear kriya. Okay? Now, the Gemara says like this. We're learning, if a relative dies, you tear kriya. Then another relative dies. So it said before in the Braise, if it's after Avelus, what did it say? It says, Meis B'nai, you know, the second son dies after the mourning period. What does it mean? So one opinion says like this. If it's the middle of Shiva, you have to do a proper tear again. If it's after Shiva, you just add to the original tear. And the other opinion says no. For 30 days, you have to tear, a new tear. After 30 days, you could just extend the first tear.
Does it include the parent?
We're speaking about, no, because Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seder said before, for a parent you have to tear a new tear anyway. We're talking, a father died, and then the son died, or brother died. Okay? So then, the Braise said, if it's after the mourning period, you just add to it. If it's within the mourning period, you have to make a new tear. So the argument is, what is the mourning period? One opinion says only during Shiva, you have to make a new tear. After Shiva, you just add. And the other opinion says, no, that even during Shleishim, you have to make a new tear. After Shleishim, you just add to the tear.
So you have to wear the clothing for the whole Shiva?
Who?
The Torah.
If it depends for a parent or not a parent. You notice the halacha is, God forbid if a parent passes away, yeah? So then you have to tear the garment. Halacha says, what happens if you change the garment in the middle? You have to tear the new garment.
You just don't change
it. Right, because if you change, you have to tear it another one. For all the other relatives, you don't have to tear again. But the minhag is, accepted, you wear it for the whole Shiva. In fact, it says after Shiva you shouldn't wear it anymore. Shadafka, not, you know, take it away. But by your parent, you'd mamash have to tear again if somebody decides to change.
What? Now, does anybody sew it up either?
You haven't seen it because. It's not like clothing, like we told you years ago, they used to change, you buy new clothing every 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it is. Listen, so we learned last week in the Gemara, a guy is selling a torn garment. In fact, we're going to learn an interesting halacha today. If you borrow somebody's garment, we learned the details in the halacha, it's coming up. And then a guy goes to visit his father, and his father dies. Can you tear the garment that you're wearing that belongs to somebody else? It's not so simple. The Gemara says it's not true.
No.
I don't want to jump the gun, but the Gemara is going to say later that if somebody says to somebody, you know what, my father's very sick, I'm going to visit him, lend me your garment. And he lends him his garment, he has to tear that garment, he sews it up, and he has to pay him the difference of the
damage.
But if you don't tell the guy, because when the guy hears your father's very sick and lend me your garment, he gives it to him, he's expecting it to get torn. Mm-hmm. But if a guy just says to a guy, he doesn't say anything, says lend me your garment, and he goes to visit his father, right, then he's not allowed to touch it. It's not his.
Also, if he goes away on
we'll see.
A weekend.
The Gemara says, Maskel, let Abzeda. Abzeda asks a question. According to the opinion that says, Man the Yamako Shiva Kareya, the person that says that during Shiva you have to make a new tear, he asks a question like this. Am I? Why? Why are you telling me? Because he's not allowed to fix it yet. Because during the Shiva, you're not allowed to fix it. There can't be. Because but somebody said before, Ha'isha Shalauta La'alta, a woman can temporarily sew up the garment right away. So you're saying, Hachanami, are you telling me that if she gets another report of somebody else is dying, she can extend the original rent, you can't. Meaning like this. Rav Zeira's question is very simple. We said during Shiva, and the Gemara thought a different reason now. The Gemara thought, why during Shiva, you'd already tore for a relative, right? And now you have to tear again. So the Gemara says you can't add to the tear. So the Gemara thought, why? Because you're not allowed to fix it, right? So therefore, it's torn already, so you have to make a new tear. But if you could fix it, then you don't have to make a new tear, you could just add to the old tear. Right, so the Gemara asks, but a woman sews it up right away, not permanent, but sews it up right away. You're telling me the din is that if she hears another relative dies, all she has to do is add? It can't be, because the Braisa said you have to tear a new tear. So the Gemara thought it has to do with basting it up, sewing it up or not. So the Gemara said, but a woman could sew it up even during Shiva, right? And yet, you're telling me she also has to make a new tear. So obviously has nothing to do with the fixing aspect of it. So the Gemara answers, no, it's a whole different story. Why is a woman allowed to sew up her garment during Shiva? Because it's tznius. The woman rips her garment, her body's exposed, it's not nice. The Gemara says, hasa mishum kavod isha, it's not because you're allowed to baste it up. The reason why a woman could pin it up, or to sew it with loose stitches, is out of modesty. It's not because in the din of tearing, the Gemara thought, if you could fix it, then you have to make a new tear. If you can't fix it, you just, you know, the Gemara says one thing has nothing to do with the next. And then the Gemara continues like, Mandi Amar Kol Shleishim Kedeya, if you're saying this according to the other opinion, that during 30 days, you have to tear a new tear. After 30 days, you just add, Amai, Doleinit and Lachai, say, you're telling me because you can't fully mend it properly to sew it up properly. But a father and mother, you can never mend it properly. Are you going to tell me that all you have to do is extend it? It's not true. And again, the Gemara answers. Over there is also a different reason. You can't fix it because it's not respectful to a parent to fix the torn garment. Especially when a person loses a parent, you're supposed to keep it. You don't have to keep it, I'm saying. But you don't fix up a torn garment that you tore for your parents. It's disrespectful to the parent to sew up the garment that you tore for them. It's like, well, you're too cheap on the parent. So there's nothing to... The Gemara thought it has to do with the fixing process. So the Gemara answered both questions. It's not a fixing process. The reason why a woman ties it up, sews it up right away is because of tznius. The reason why you can't fix the garment that you tore for the parent is again because of respect to the parents. It has nothing to do with adding or tearing a new tear. It has nothing to do with fixing or not fixing. It has to do, if you're still in the middle of Shiva, you have to make a new tear. If you, the other opinion says, middle of Shleishim, you have to make a new tear. If it's after Shiva, after Shleishim, according to either opinion, so then you can just add to the tear. You don't have to make a new one. Okay, now the Gemara goes into a new thing. All the way at the bottom line. The Rabbanan learned like this. Hayeti bebeged karua lifnei hametz. If somebody goes out to a funeral with their pre-torn garment. Okay? Meaning, he tore a garment from a different time. And now he's putting it on for the funeral of a different person. The Gemara says, "Gezel es hameisim v'sechayim." You're stealing from the deceased and from the living. Okay, what does this mean? So he says, the fact that you're not making a new tear for the deceased, you're taking away the respect, you're stealing the respect of the dead person. Why are you stealing from the living? Because they thought you tore for this person, and it's not true, you tore for somebody else. You're cheating their minds. Right? If somebody comes to a funeral with a torn garment that he tore from a different time, the Gemara says you're stealing from the dead and from the living. You're stealing from the living because people thought you tore for him, and it's not true, you never tore for them. So you're cheating their minds. You're making them think something which is incorrect. Why are you stealing from the dead? Because this person deserves his own tear. Why are you taking away a tear from him? And as the Mefarshim explained, robbing a deceased person of his honor can never be fixed. You can't ask him mechila. You can't ask him forgiveness. It's no good. You can never repay it. Huh? You can go, but it's still not. Okay, then it says like this. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, this is the thing we just said. If somebody says to his friend, lend me your garment, and I'll go visit my father who is very sick. But he tells the guy clearly, listen, I need to go to my father, I need to look more presentable, whatever. Lend me your garment, but because my father is very sick. And he found out that the father died, and this is the only garment he has. So the din is, kereya, he tears it. Uma'achin, here he can mend it right away. Why? Even though normally you're not allowed to, okay? The guy still, that he shouldn't be embarrassed on his father's death not to tear it, but he didn't give it to him that it should be permanently torn. In other words, the fact that the guy gave him his garment, knowing that he might have to tear it, is because the guy said, listen, I don't want you to be embarrassed that you didn't tear on your father. Okay? But listen, I never gave it to you to ruin it completely. So you're allowed to fix it. What happens? Then when the guy comes back home, you give him back to the mended garment, and you tell him to pay him the value of the garment's decreased value because of the tear. It's still worth less than a garment that's not torn. So therefore you have to pay him that money. By the way, there's an interesting halacha. I don't remember, we didn't learn it here. But what happens if somebody hears, God forbid, that the father died? They have to tear, right? According to halacha, they can change the garment and tear. What happens if somebody's wearing a very expensive suit? You know, God forbid, and the father dies. You don't have to tear the tafka, the clothing you're wearing. You can put on a shmata cloth, you know, shmata suit, and tear that. You don't need to tear dafki, the expensive clothing. But here, the reason why the guy is tearing the other friend's garment is because he had no choice. He couldn't change it. That's all he had. So the fact that the friend knew that he's going to visit his father who was sick, knew in the back of his mind that it might be torn. So the Gemara says he could tear it, but he has to fix it.
So if a person has a backup jacket, he can switch and then...
Sure, they do that, of course. No problem.
Today they did, but back then they did also.
Back then, the guy had one garment. What did he have? That's what he learned. He used to tear him 5-6 times, and bottom, top, with the back, the back, the front, I mean... For parents, we learned you need to tear a jacket and a shirt. For other relatives, you just tear one garment, you just tear a shirt. In fact, there's a whole shaila that's brought down in halacha. Do you tear a talus cotton? God forbid somebody's father or mother, yeah? So you have to tear the jacket, you have to tear the shirt. Do you tear the talus cotton? So Paskim, right, you don't.
Well, you have to tear a shirt also?
Yeah, for parents.
So you tear both a jacket and a shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Unless you never wear a jacket. So you tear both, yeah.
So a person doesn't really wear jackets too often, he just has a shirt,
Yeah, if he doesn't wear a jacket, but if he's going to put on a jacket during shiv, he's going to have to tear it.
What's the meaning of that? Is the meaning of the person wears the jacket?
Because the Gemara says the expression by parents, you have to tear all the garments, ad alev, until the heart. It said, but the underwear, including a talus cotton, you don't have to tear. Okay.
Why shirt and jacket and not pants and other things?
Because you have to tear on top. It has to be noticeable tear.
Oh,
another test
to be visible.
Right.
In the old days, the one pants cut underneath?
Near the heart,
also.
The one underneath, like we do now in the old
days? Yeah. Then the Gemara says, but what happens if he didn't tell the guy why he's borrowing the jacket? or the shirt. He just says, you know, lend me your shirt. And he goes, and then he finds his father's dead. So the din is, areza layigabai, he's not allowed to touch it. Because it's not his, and he had no permission. You have no permission to tear somebody else's garment. You can't even tear it and pay him for it. You can't even tear it, you know. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If I have something, I have this dish, yeah, expensive dish, and I say to you, break it. You say, you know what, break it. And you break it, you have to pay for it.
Sure.
Unless if I say, break it, and you're not responsible for it, then you're not. But if I give you permission to break something of mine, you still have to break it. You still have to pay for it.
Sure.
I never said you don't have to pay for it. I said you can break it, but you have to pay for it.
You're allowed to listen,
he did it. We're talking about money now. You're not allowed. Are you allowed to do business on Shabbos? No. What happens if a guy sells something on Shabbos? Is it sold or not? This bottle of soda is a dollar, yeah? On Shabbos, I say, Reb David, you want to buy the soda? Yeah. You give me a dollar, you pick up the soda. Yeah, you pick it up. Yeah, you coin the soda. Then heck, it's Shabbos. You're not allowed to do business. Tough luck. The deal's a deal. You did something wrong on Shabbos, but the deal's a deal. Obviously, we're not talking about sodas. If a guy sells a merchandise and all of a sudden after Shabbos it shoots up, and that guy wants to back out of the deal and he says, "Oh no, it's not a good deal because Shabbos you're not allowed to do it." Doesn't matter. The deal's still a deal.
So.
Okay. Religion and money is two different things. Just keep that in mind. Religion is not to do with money. Money is money, religion is religion. Okay.
So if you go to the kaisel and you have to tear it, you tell somebody if to change shirts and whatever, so it doesn't work according to
this. I don't know what they do. Okay,
what if you know a guy is if he says I'm going to visit a father and whatever, and then he says but don't tear it.
Then he's not allowed to, obviously, that's clear.
No, if he says I'm makpid, so then
of course then you can't tear. Mm-hmm.
Even though he knows that you're going
over there, he's saying clearly don't tear. Over here he's not saying anything. He didn't say tear or not tear. So over here we assume that he has to know that it could be torn. But now it's a very interesting halacha. Tana Rabbanan. And this is a very well known medical ethics question. Chayla shemes lemes, a person who's ill and a relative died. Do you tell him or not? So the Gemara says, Ein me DNA se shemes. You don't tell him that the relative died. Why? Shemetitriv died to love. He's going to become more sick. He'll become sicker from it. Therefore, you don't tear your garments in front of the sick person, because you should know that the guy died. And you silence the women, because the women would go with the la la la, and they would moan and groan. The women, the Gemara talks about this. We'll see later in the Gemara here. The maspidin. The women used to buy funerals, used to really. These voices. So the din is, you have to tell the woman to be quiet because you don't want the sick person to know that the relative died. Obviously, this din is not, I mean, it's a general rule. It depends how sick the person is and how they're going to take it. I mean, but there's a logic over here. The Gemara says that he shouldn't become sicker. That's all.
Does this apply also to someone who just had a simcha, like a wedding? And their parent passed away, like, right after the wedding, they didn't know that.
You know, all this is common sense.
Right.
Common sense.
What?
If somebody
got married,
if somebody has a wedding coming up, and let's say a brother died, okay, and they wouldn't find out anyway if nobody tells them, they wouldn't find out for a few days. Mm-hmm. You don't tell them before the wedding. Well, you want to shiver by the wedding. You know, tell the person later.
How much later?
After the wedding.
What if the family doesn't show up because of that person's death?
Okay, so you say whatever. Make up an excuse.
You could push off the wedding now.
No, it depends who died.
If it's a parent, yeah.
If a father of a chosen's brother died, you push off a wedding?
No,
you're not allowed to.
His uncle.
Right, I'm saying it. I'm talking about the chassan's parent died. Yeah, then you push off the wedding if it's if it's during Shiva.
Or one of his brothers and sisters or something
like that. Yes, it's a different story. You could, yeah. Okay, then it says another halacha. Mekadin lekotin mefnei agmas nefesh. One second. You tear the garments of a kid because of grief. Meaning, not for the kid, but for the other people who see the kid's garment. Okay? Now, this refers, the Mefoshin, there's a big machlekes in the Rishenim, that this speaking about a young kid. Okay? Now, there's a very interesting halacha when it comes to avelis. There's no avelis by a cotton. That means if a kid under bar mas mitzvah, God forbid, lost a parent, the kid doesn't sit shiva, he tears the garments because of agmas nefesh, meaning that other people should be upset that seeing the kid's garment is torn. But as far as the kid is concerned, there's nothing to do with avelis. Now, the Mefarshim explained, an older kid under bar mas mitzvah do have a din of kriya, even though there's no din of shiva. There's no din of shiva by a cotton.
What's the cotton?
The kid bunch, it says in halacha, they're supposed to go to school, they're supposed to learn Torah. There's no, because, and you don't even have chinuch for avelus. You know, all the other mitzvahs, you have what's called chinuch. But avelus, you don't make chinuch. You don't educate a kid in avelus. Okay, then the Gemara says, the kid in alcham of Valchamaisi, this din is also not done today, but the Gemara says, you tear for a father-in-law and a mother-in-law, mipnei kavod ishti, out of respect for the wife. In other words, if somebody's wife's, and the same thing works reverse too, if somebody's wife's, in other words, if somebody's father-in-law and mother-in-law died, God forbid, so they tear kriya for out of respect to the wife. But again, this is not done today.
But if it was, does the, let's say it's his wife's parent, does he have the dinner still both jacket?
No. I said today we don't do it at all.
No, but if it's his,
in fact, it's Vodot done before.
It was for making Kaddish, I think.
Huh?
It was for making Kaddish for father-in-law. So there was trying to put them. We discussed if the father-in-law dies and he has no son, whether the son-in-law can make
Kaddish. Well, no, the Gemara says, the Gemara says like this. The son of Maruk, his father-in-law, died. So he thought of sitting Shiva and Shleishim. So he says, you want to eat or mourn his meal? It's only out of respect to the in-laws. So it says, you can't force your wife, whatever. But it's more out of respect for the in-law. But the word was speaking about Shiva and Shleishim before.
The kids only say Kaddish,
and that's it? The kids say Kaddish, yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amir Rav Papa said, Tana Evel Rapsi, we learned in the tractate. There's a brayse called Evel Rapsi. It says, a mourner is not allowed to play with the kid during Shiva. Why? This is, by the way, a din that a lot of people also don't know. And this is Taka brought down the Shulchan Aruch. Because it brings him to laughter. The nimsim is gone, albeit he'll be disgraced before people. In other words, in a Shiva house, it's supposed to be, it's not a kindergarten. It's not a play. You know, that's why the minig is, you don't bring kids to a Shiva house, and you know, all these things you don't do. Why? Because an Ovel is not allowed to even hold a kid on his lap. You know, during Shiva, because then he come to play with the kid, and now to be playing, rather than the seriousness of Shiva.
It's
underbar. Huh? No, it's a little kid, Tinnik. Okay. Tinnik is a toddler.
What is a katan? A katan is a
kid. Under bar mitzvah.
Until 13.
Right.
Also with the din of kriya that
the kids do tear. The kids do tear.
But when does he have the din of sitting shiva? 18, 21?
Bar mitzvah.
After bar mitzvah?
Sure.
Kids.
You don't bring kids to funerals.
Under bar mitzvah. That's
it depends. Why should people bring little kids anyway? It's not nice. First of all, not good for a kid.
But to bring to keep it tzaddikim, now we do.
It's not a cemetery.
It's a cemetery, but generally speaking, in old Jewish tradition, pregnant women never went to cemeteries. Women, b'chlal, even today, in the Hasidic Hungarian communities, you know, the Hungarian, those types of people, even wives and daughters don't go to their fathers and husbands' funerals, to the cemetery. Either it's in the chapel, and that's it. They don't go to the cemeteries. Women in those circles don't go to cemeteries. Especially if she's during the Nida time, or she's childbearing years. I mean, there's all question of Tumah and Ruach Ra and all these things. Today in the world, they're much more lenient with it. In Halacha, it's not forbidden. In fact, in Halacha, there's a very interesting Shaila. A wife of a Kohen. No, you know, a boy Kohen cannot become Tameh. Right? A female Kohen, a Bas Kohen, could become Tamei. Because the Torah says, in Parshas Emer, Emer ala Kohenim b'nei Aharein, l'nefesh lo yitama. So the Gemara learns, Rashi quotes in Chumash, b'nei Aharein v'le b'nei Sarin. Because the Torah doesn't say, Emer ala Kohenim, period. It says, Kohenim b'nei Aharein. So Kohenim are b'nei Aharein, everybody knows that. Why does it say, the children of Aharein? To teach us only the male Kohenim, not the female Kohen. Correct? But a male Kohen cannot go into cemetery.
So now the question is,
what happens if a wife of a Kohen is pregnant? Is she allowed to go to a cemetery? What's the shaila? If she's carrying a boy, is a Kohen. So it says, that's what I'm saying, but maybe. So it says, interesting, it says in Halacha, Alpidin, she could go. Why? It's a double doubt. He says it's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Maybe she'll miscarry, maybe she won't. And even if she has a kid, maybe it'll be a girl. So it's like 75% mutter, and 25% asr. It's a svek sveka, it's a double doubt, and it's mutter. She can go. The halacha, she can go. But a lot of places, women, pregnant, nursing, women at childbearing ages, they just don't go.
After childbearing.
I'm saying also, nowadays, the people are more lenient with this stuff. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah said it then. A mevadin alamitas kufis. This is called Sudas Havra. Sudas Havra is the first meal after the funeral. When the custom is in America or in other places, you have bagels and eggs. Or we find in Chumash, Yaakov was cooking the adoshim, the lentil soup, because Yitzchok was sitting Shiva after Avram, right? So there's what's called Sudas Avra. The din is, Sudas Avra is the first meal that they eat after the Levaya. And the din is, they can't make it from their own. A stranger has to bring it to the house to feed them. So it says, a mevadin el amitas ukufis. You only serve the mourner's meal on upright beds. Meaning, the mourner itself, we learned, has to turn over the bed. So they have to sit on an upside down bed. But the other people who feed them the food, they sit on upright beds. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. So it says, Tan Rabban learned like this. If somebody goes to an oval's house, so it says like this, Im hayalibe gaspay, in the simple meaning of it is, he is very, very friendly with the guy, meaning, he's extremely friendly with the person, then yavriu al mitas kufuyas. He should also serve him, the visitor, and also overturned bed. Meaning the visitor sits in an overturned bed together with the mourner. Because he's a very, very close friend, so he feels for him. Vimlav, and if not, Yavru Almitas Ukufis, then he eats it on upright beds. Meaning basically this is explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah says only the oval sits on the upside down bed. But the other people sit on a right side up bed. Unless if he's very, very good friend, so then he could also sit on the mourner's bed. Okay, that's the explanation of the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells an incident about this.
We said about it that we don't do it today because it's witchcraft, look like.
Right. Rava Isra by Milsa. Something unfortunate happened to Rava, meaning a relative died. All the Gabei, so came to visit him, Abba bar Marsa, or the Abba bar Menyumi. He had two names, either Abba bar Marsa or Abba bar Menyumi, same guy. What did he do? Rava Zakif, so Rava righted up the bed for Abba bar Marsa. In other words, because Rava knew the halacha, that the visitor sits on a right side bed, right? An upside, right side up bed. What happened? Abba bar Marsa kafe. So Abba bar Marsa turned over the bed. Rava straightened up the bed for him, and he came and turned it upside down again. So Rava said, "Kamelas badaitelai sur hetuvim rabbanon." In simple English, how stupid can this guy be? How stupid can this rabbi be? Les badaita means he has no das. How senseless is this tuvim rabbanon? The Mepharshim explained what happened over here. So first of all, he said, what is he so close to me that he's sitting on an upside down bed? He's not that close to me, he has to sit on a right side up bed. That's the simple thing of the Gemara. Now, another thing, because we learned, it was mentioned before, that Libe Gazba means the visitors should, if the person is very sensitive to the mourner, he should show that he's sensitive to the mourner's loss by also sitting on a topsy-turvy bed. Whatever the case is, Rava said, you're not showing me anything about it. You don't have to show me anything. Okay? So the Mepharshim, he brings out the bottom, interesting. It's a pretty sharp statement for Rava to say that this guy is brainless. I mean, you know, how does Rava say such a statement? I mean, Rava is a Talmud Chacham. To say this guy is brainless, less badaita means he has no das. So they quote an interesting thing. They quote a story in the Gemara Menachos, in Yevamos and Menachos, where Rebbe heard a comment made by Levi. Levi was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So when Levi said a comment to Rebbe, Rebbe said, "Kimedeimani, it appears to me, Shein le'merach b'kodkodei." The guy has no brain. Similar Gemara. Well, here it's Rava saying the guy's brainless, and over there Rebbe says about Levi, the guy has no brain. This "emerach b'kodkodei" means he has no brain. So the Mepharshim explain, the Rambam explains, we explain it like this. How do you explain this Gemara? In fact, it brings down from the Chafetz Chaim. How do they explain this Gemara? There's a din in Halacha that a teacher is allowed to embarrass a student if he feels the student will learn better by it. Halachically, if it's an orphan, then you're not allowed to. But if it's a regular student, the din is a teacher sees that his students are being negligent in their studies and not applying themselves, have a result, must be angry with them and embarrass them to sharpen their minds.
Doesn't embarrassment have a
counter? So it says, that was the old school, this is not the new school, this is the old school. So it says that the Rebbe was the Rebbe of Levi, and Rava was the Rebbe of Abba bar Menyumi. So Rava said, when the guy did such a stupid thing, he has to embarrass him. And that's what he said, you have no brain.
But this has to do with feeling a person to, if he's close to him or not.
Right, so Rava says, either what does he think, he's so close to me, or he thinks that he's indifferent
why
to
is
the...
Why is student? He's close to your Rebbe.
No, but a Rebbe has a right to embarrass a student.
He was in a bad mood.
No, but these guys are no bad moods. In fact, there's an interesting incident that happened with the Rebbe once in the Pirkei Avos. It says in the Mishnah, in Perek Beis of Pirkei Avos, we read just for Shabbos, yeah? It says, Chamisha Tamidim Hayu L'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehuda Zakeh has five Talmidim. Who were they? Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkan, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Asano, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. And then he mentions each one. Then the Mishnah says, sayings from each one. So it says over here, Rabbi Shimon Aymer, here, Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon is? Rabbi Shimon ben Asano, that's from the previous Mishnah, right? He says, have Ezar b'krishma tefila, be careful with Krishna Tefillah, when you daven, don't make it as if you have to, you know, burdensome and so on. So the Rebbe wants to explain this Mishnah, and the Rebbe said that when it says Rab Shimon Eimer, Stam Rab Shimon is Rab Shimon ben Yechoy. That's the rule in Shas. Stam Rab Shimon, when it says Rab Shimon, who is it? Rab Shimon ben Yechoy. So the Rebbe explained this whole Mishnah meaning Rab Shimon ben Yechoy. Okay? So right after, I was there, I remember. Everybody said it says Rav Shimon ben Asano. The Rebbe explained the whole Mishnah called Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Okay? So they wrote to the Rebbe the question. And they asked, no, it says Rav Shimon, how could you say it's Rav Shimon ben Yochai? It's Rav Shimon ben Asano. Anyway, so the next week, the Rebbe first made fun of all the way the people asked the questions, the stupidity of the way asking the question, because there was such a clear way of asking the question instead of going like this to ask the question. And then the Rebbe smiled and he said, why did he do it? Because there's a din in Hilchos Talmud Torah that a teacher is allowed to trick a student and teach him something wrong to see if the student is awake and listening to know that he made a mistake. Rebbe called it a din in Shulchan Aruch. Then the Rebbe went on to explain that the same explanation he said for Rav Shimon ben Yochai, he proved from a different Gemara that Rav Shimon ben Asano is also Tarasi Umnasi, just like Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So he said the same explanation I give about Rav Shimon ben Yochai in the Mishnah applies also to Rav Shimon ben Asano. What I said wasn't wrong. He said, why did I say Rav Shimon ben Yochai to trick the student? But they bring that over here also. A Rabbi has a right to do certain things that normally you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to cheat, to trick people, or things like that. But a Rebbe, in order to sharpen the mind of the Talmidim, has a right to do it. And therefore, this one, Reb Shimon, I mean, the Rav calls him, you have no brains, let's be data, you have no das, and the other Rebbe said, you have no brain in your head. Okay, then it says, Tan Rabban Rabban learned, Tahelech Mimakim Lamakim. A person is traveling from place to place in business. Right? And then, while in traveling, he hears that the relative died. So what does he do? Im yachol, in other words, like this. If he's able to, lemaid b'sakai, to suspend all business activity, the Mefarshim explained, that's what it means here. Okay? Yamayti has to. Vim lav, and if not, meaning, if he stops all business, he's going to lose a lot of money, and he's not home. Right? What should he do? Yegalgal al nimohem. He can do business together with others who are doing the business, but not him. In other words, he cannot do transactions, but he can be part of other people's transactions. And the reason for this is, because we'll see later in the Gemara, I mean, it goes into more details with this, how much business is an Ovel allowed to do? Now, before we learned in the Gemara that one is mourning for any relative, if it's other relatives, then you could engage a business if it's a big loss of money. For parents, you're not allowed to. Okay? So therefore, even though he has to, technically for a parent, you have to stop all business, but the Gemara says that it's a leniency because he had such an effort in traveling and doing and going, so the Chum were more lenient with him. As far as that goes. Okay, we'll learn the next piece of Gemara. It's very interesting and very simple. Tan Rabban Rabban learned. May Masi Kefin is Samitas. The Gemara asked, actually, when do you turn over the beds? But the real question Mefarshim explained is, when does that Vela start for an Ovel? When does Shiva begin? At what stage? So, Mishayetim Mipesel Besi. When the body leaves the door of the house. Even not the burial. The second, people didn't have hospitals in those days, they died in the house, right? The second the body leaves the house to the funeral, Shiva begins. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Emed, Mishayista Magailu, when the lid of the casket is sealed, which is a big machlek is what it means, but in practical halacha, when the levay is finished, when they cover the grave completely. The first opinion says when they take the body out. That's when Avelis begins. The second opinion says no, after the grave is filled.
I got a question on that.
What?
We had a couple of weeks ago when someone was going from Babel to get buried in Israel.
Right.
So that's also at the time?
Yeah, unless if they're going with the body. But the people that stay at home, the second the body leaves, they start shiva. But Rabbi Shoimer Mishiyista Magailu, when the grave is finished. So Gemara tells a story. Maisa Shemesa Rabbi Gamliel Azakin, when the old Rabbi Gamliel, means the original Rabbi Gamliel, passed away. So Kiv and Shiyatsumi passed away. As soon as they took out the body of Rabbi Gamliel from the door, Amalahem Rabbi Eliezer said before the din, Mishiyatsum Pesach Beisei, he told the family, Kafu Mitesechem. You know, turn over the beds, meaning start the shiva. Kivin Shinista Magailu, but after the funeral, Amalehem Rabbi Shua said to the family, Kafu Mitesechem, okay, start Avelis. And that's what happened like this. There's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when do you start shiva? Rabbi Eliezer says as soon as the body goes out. Rabbi Yeshua says when they fill the grave, yeah? So Rabbi Gamliel died. So as soon as they took him out the door, Rabbi Eliezer turned to the family and said, start shiva. When they buried him, after the Levaya, Rabbi Yeshua says to the family, okay, start shiva. So they said to him, Avrulay, Kfakafina Pizokin, we already started Avelis based on the Psak of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rabbi tells the story that Rabbi Gamliel, there was an argument after Rabbi Gamliel's Levaya when the shiva began. Rabbi Eliezer told him, start right away. And Rabbi Yeshua said, no, you gotta wait. But they already started. The halacha today is after the Levite. I mean, when they fill the, that's when they change the shoes, and you know, that's then the, okay.